When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Found it down. Got the legend. Let's go.
All right. Well, it starts tonight with Notre Dame and Indiana, and then you know how it caps off the weekend. It's Ohio State and Tennessee. Let's go now to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is a super friend of the show. He's from Letterman Row. He has been with us, I think, all 13 years of the show. He is Tim May. Hello, Tim May. How
What's up,
are
buddy?
You?
I'm doing well, but I'm not sure. This might be the second time I've done this in 4 weeks, but I apologize profusely about missing you guys last week.
I forgot. Last week is the Michigan game. I forgot, man. Don't even know that it happened.
I totally screwed up, and there was a lot going on that day, and blah, blah, blah. Grab any other cliche you want out of the air as an excuse. The dog ate my homework. The dog ate my script, although I hope people know this is unscripted.
Of course it is. Look, I'm going to say it. It's all forgotten if you've learned something from it. And you can give us your best performance today, like Ohio State will do tomorrow against Tennessee, right?
Yeah, Ohio State players, you know, were pretty adamant, on to Tennessee this week, you know, and they were talking to us. But, you know, they'll never forget that game, their last game, the game against Michigan, where they've lost four in a row and didn't get to play, as a result, also didn't get to play for the Big Ten championship for the fourth straight year. That'll always haunt them. But these next four games are what stand between them and winning some hardware of note over 4 years, especially the guys who came back. And I didn't mean to get all serious suddenly on that.
Get serious.
As I walked through Costco trying to find a quiet spot, but. But the bottom line is, yeah, there's a lot on the line on Saturday night. And it's not – it's advancement. It's winning. It's maybe taking some Ryan Day, even though the athletic director, Ross Bjork, he said he's going to be their coach in 2025. You know, we know all kinds of things are said in the moment that maybe get reevaluated. So there are all kinds of things going on here. But it's Ryan Day and his staff's chance to put their best product on the field and hopefully – in their case, in their thinking, these guys play, you know, to their capability for a complete 60 minutes, which, except for a couple of games, which didn't matter, except for the fact they won, they really haven't done this year. So this is a, as I describe it, this is a one, W-O-N, or done, D-O-N-E. And that's when you're facing that as a college football player playing your bonus last game in Ohio Stadium, which is huge in my opinion. No matter how many Tennessee fans actually show up, it should be motivation enough.
Tim, hot dog, piece of pizza, or a pretzel before or after you're doing your current shopping?
Did you have
the hot dog, the pretzel?
Oh no,
or the piece of pizza?
Or are you just doing?
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The hot dog's one of the great buys.
Oh,
around,
the best.
Except you smell like a an Italian restaurant during prep period because of all the garlic that's in those hot dogs for the rest of your day.
Fair enough.
And then number two, well, they say processed meat's really not good for you, right? But boy, does it taste good.
Especially for the price in there. That's like the one thing they don't mess with in there.
Oh, that's
it. $1.50. Heck, I'll just take the hot dog. That's a hot dog and a drink. That's the best thing going.
Or you could just do the hors d'oeuvre circuit, right?
Yes. Well, I don't do that. I was on the phone with my wife, but just as y'all called, and I was reminding her how they always have this food out, and there's lines sometimes, of people grazing, and I long ago decided not to be a grazer.
Or a hoverer. The hoverer is the way.
The hoverer
is waiting for someone behind the toaster oven that's going to throw out the little piece of pizza. Yeah,
blocking where you need to go. That's ridiculous with those carts parked all over the place. Anyway, Tim, speaking
5 pounds every visit to Costco.
Oh, for sure.
And especially with Costco, more than anything else, you find yourself needing someone to like kind of pave the way for you, which gets us to Ohio State's offensive line.
Oh,
what is going on with the guard position?
Transition. Nice job.
What is going on with the guard position here, Tim?
I have no idea. I would think you're probably going to see Luke Montgomery probably start at left guard and probably Austin Cervelde at right guard. Although Tekker Shibola could still get that start. But I'm under the impression, not under the impression, we were told Luke Montgomery's had a really good last couple of 3 weeks. And, you know, that's always coinky-dink when your offensive line coach, your head coach, your offensive coordinator are looking to do something to shake things up compared to the way those guys played against Michigan's front the last time they went out. Now, of course, there's double blame there to go when you're not getting it done up front. Why do you keep banging your head against that wall? You know, Chip Kelly took blame, maybe is the right guy. He pleaded guilty, I guess, in a court of law this week, which was an interview with all of us about, they should have pivoted maybe earlier than they did. I mean, I'm sure they pivoted, but basically – in a situation like this with the whole season on the line, you do what you do best, whatever you figure that out is as the game goes on. And one of the things Ohio State will always do better than most every other teams, especially in this playoff field, is throw the ball to a fleet of extremely talented receivers and running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield and tight ends, you know, G. Scott Jr. And down the line there. So I expect Ohio State to have a very good mix. But, you know, once you get into a game, things change based on the situations, based on the conditions and stuff. But Ohio State has the ability to pivot like few other teams in this playoff also. Because when you look at Tennessee's passing offense, heck, they've only got 6 wide receivers now on the roster. 3 or 4 already jumped in the portal. And their top 3 receivers all have some type of banged up next to their name going into this game. Squirrel White or Squirrel Smith? I get him. He goes by Squirrel, though. He might not even get to play because his arm was in a sling last time people saw him. So they're going to be a little bit challenged on the passing end of it, especially with their Richard freshman quarterback, Ia Malieva. Yeah, I think I said that right for the first time.
We have helper, right? Do we have help for you? Hang on. Because we had trouble with this earlier in the show. So sometimes when we falter, we find ourselves in a position to need a little bit of AI help when we can't say somebody's name. And there's how it goes.
Yeah, we figure it, why not go to the source? So this is courtesy of Kentucky. Ia Malieva.
Malieva. I wrote that down because I just did 3 hours of radio on 97.1. Say something on the fan with Bo Bishop, and I usually left up to our producer to pronounce the name. I'm usually really good, believe it or not, fellas, at pronouncing names, but this one is a tongue twister.
I had the same problem, man. I was sitting at the table last night and this morning trying to pronounce this name and feeling good about it, because normally I'm with you. I like you pronounce every letter and you could get pretty good. This one, for some reason, is giving me fits.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, in my head, I'm pronouncing it right, but it doesn't get through to my tongue and mouth. Malieva.
All right, one more time.
Well, I've heard it like 6 different ways. That's a guy with way, way too many vowels in the wrong places.
That's right. Have you met Jeremiah Wusu-Koromoa yet? Have you met him? Okay.
If you see M-A-Y, you pronounce it May, right? And you don't move on. It's just straightforward. Just don't call me late for lunch.
That's right. Can you pronounce Jaden Fielding's name correctly? Because I'm wondering, what is the confidence level in the Ohio State kicker?
That's going to be answered about 7:30, 7:45, maybe 8 o'clock when they send a kicker out to and I'm sure it's probably going to be him, because why would you run in a guy who hadn't really kicked before in a game like this? Austin Seaver, but the bottom line, you expect it to be him. And he was guilty, if that's the right term, The first miss he had, just kicking it too damn hard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the wind was coming kind of out of the southwest part of the through the southwest part of the stadium, and the ball just took a weird hard right for some reason, kicking into the wind on that particular try. And then the next one, you know, sometimes you flat miss it. But see, what we all don't know, sitting in the press box or even sitting at home, is was the placement exactly where it should have been, all this kind of stuff. It's kind of like playing golf, except the ball has a chance to not be where it was when you took your backswing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you swing through. So, yeah, all kinds of stuff. But he's got to be on point. I mean, Ohio State got beat 13-10 last time we saw him, and he missed two very makeable field goals, and the Michigan kicker made two, which was the difference in the game. That along with the interceptions, two interceptions that Will Howard threw.
So no way we see Austin Snyder, the kid from Groveport Madison or Finley, for a while, right?
We don't, dude, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I don't know.
You don't know.
Now.
Okay.
They were supposed to have, you know, Wednesday was their big kick day, but then, you know, with kickers, you know this.
Oh.
How many head coaches, except maybe Steve Spurrier, he used to kick, by the way, for Florida. How many head coaches have ever kicked? They even tried to kick, you know. So they're going on a gut feel, and they're also going on statistics from pressure times in practice and things like that. So he has the wherewithal to be quite capable of winning the game for them if it comes down to that.
They also have Casey Maguire. There's the other kid from Dublin, right, who went to camp
right.
too. So
right.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I wish we didn't understand that kicking feeling here with the Browns and the Buckeyes, but we do, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, it is, and sometimes it comes down to that. But you don't know how good he's going to be because every kicker is only as good as his last kick, and you know that.
Yeah. So. I don't know, Tim. I mean, the other interesting point of this whole thing is this is uncharted territory for everybody, right? When they don't open up the shoe in December, this late in December, for a football game. They've never done it before, and now they're going to do it. And I got to tell you, that excites me more than anything else. I'm totally pumped for that.
I just hope to keep the, you know, like in the South, when it gets cold, you keep the water running so your pipes don't freeze. I hope they do that with this thing because, you know, we were told several years ago that Ohio Stadium's not winterized, at least. Most of it, when it comes to the restrooms and stuff, is not winterized from the standpoint of insulation and things like that.
Uh-oh.
That's why when Gene Smith talked about it a couple of years ago, when this 12-team playoff thing came about and possibility of hosting, he talked about, you know, possibly if Ohio State had that situation, moving the game to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, which is a dome. And I got on board with that for a couple of reasons. But the main reason was, this is an Ohio State offense that under Urban Meyer and definitely under Ryan Day has been built to play as close as you can get to pristine conditions, you know. And with that, I mean, they have few equals in college football when the conditions are right and, you know, little or no wind and temperatures in the 50s or 60s. That's ideal. And so this really, the cold, and it's supposed to be dropped into what I call the frigid range, maybe by game time, but definitely as the game goes on, which would be possibly below 20 degrees. It's going to be right around 20 or less, or 20 or higher, 20 or fewer. What is it? 20 or less, I guess, temperature, a wind chill through the whole game. So, you know, if I had a team with these kind of weapons at running back and at wide receiver, and with a revamped offensive line, I think I'd want to play in as ideal a condition as I could get. But it is what it is at this point.
Wow. I never thought about it. Yeah.
Tennessee has kind of a similar approach offensively. They don't have the confidence in their pass game like they've had in the past couple of years under Josh Heupel because, you know, this is a redshirt freshman quarterback, but he can throw. He's got a super strong arm. But then the other thing is he has very fast feet, and when he scrambles – or does something a little off schedule, he's caught a lot of people unawares. And then you couple that with the fact the Sampson kid was the offensive player of the year in the Southeastern Conference, their running back who rushed for almost 1,500 yards. I mean, they can still be quite potent.
All right, one sentence, Tim May, answer. Ohio State wins if. Only one sentence.
Will Howard has a tremendous game, both running and throwing.
There you go. Tim May sizes it up for you. Thank you, my friend.
Go buy 38 pounds of rice.
Yes.
You got it, baby. By the way, rice isn't good for you, I've heard. And that's too bad because I used to eat rice. I used to dream of going to the to over to Vietnam or something and taking a tanker truck of my mom's great gravy and having all the rice I could eat. That was one of my goals back when I was about 8.
And now we know the rest of the
now
story.
You know
about
it
Tim
ain't
May.
Good yeah, for you.
Yes. Goodbye, I mean, Tim.
See you,
we gotta go. We gotta go.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye, Tim. Tim May.
See you,
all right.
Talk soon.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up, by the way. Tim on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We also had Brian Browning on. I almost said Brian Anderson. I wonder what happened to Brian.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We missed him. We'll find out next week.
Yeah, we'll find out.
It's kind of like this Friday thing.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know.
It's the holiday season.
It's the holiday
your
season.
Your days
I got
are all messed up. And yeah,
he's probably got something with kids and shopping and whatever.
So anyway, so we'll have him on next week, especially because we had some baseball stuff we wanted to talk to him about too. So, but we'll get to that next week.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
So we got the Browns, we got the Bengals, we got Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up here probably in the next 5 minutes. So as soon as he hits the podium, we'll do that. And then, you know, at the end of the show, you know what we're doing, quick predicts. And so that'll be your opportunity to tell us the score of the Bengals Browns game, on Sunday, and then, give us Monday morning's headline. DTR obviously getting the start, this week. Jameis Winston a little banged up. He is on the injury report this week too. So, he is, listed as questionable for the game, right? So that's where he's at going into this thing. You had a little bit of the injury report before. Miles Garrett's the one I think we're most concerned
about. Yeah, Miles
about.
Back on the practice field. Shelby Harris, the only one who wasn't practicing. Cedric Tillman and Martin Emerson were the other ones that were in the concussion protocol. They were limited in practice.
If you believe in like matchup predictors, ESPN has the Bengals winning as a 67% chance of winning the game before they even step on the field.
Well, I have a feeling if the Browns are going to win this game, it's going to be in some kind of a shootout manner, because the Bengal defense is just so bad. I mean, good golly, this defense is just horrendous. And so we know that the offense is absolutely humming. I mean, you could argue Joe Burrow's having his best season as a pro this year. I mean, you cannot look at the Cincinnati Bengals offense with Burrow and Chase and T. Higgins and Chase Brown and that whole group and for half a second say, yeah, the offense is what's holding them back this year. Like, we're losing games because of our offense. That's not the case. They are slinging it. The problem is their defense is letting every other team on the planet also sling it.
I think the other part of this game too is that the Bengals are not dead yet. They're not 100% dead. They do have the least chance of making the playoffs for any team that has not been eliminated. If they win, they jump up to an 11% chance of making it to the playoffs. But a lot of the hopes and dreams of this team depend on another team that who's sitting in the 7th spot right now, and that's the Broncos. So the Broncos lose to the Chargers last night, and one of the path to the playoffs for the Bengals was for whoever lost last night's game, they would have to lose all 3 going out, and that's the starting point. I mean, there are other things that are going on to try to get them to the playoffs, but for the Bengals to even have a chance to walk into these last 2 weeks of the season to make the playoffs, they clearly have to beat the Browns. They would move to 7-8. And then they're knocking on the door for the Broncos. And the Broncos, they would need the Broncos to lose their last 2 games of the season. So that's where it kind of starts out for them. So if you're Cincinnati, you know, you're still playing. You still have life.
And if you're the Browns, you can basically ruin their season. You know, just completely put it to bed. I mean, it's going to be an uphill battle for them to get into the playoffs. But boy, they drop one and they're done. And that's the end of it. So if you're the Browns, I mean, at least you got that to play for, is you could play spoiler the rest of the way for a couple different teams and make their lives a little harder than they need to be.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, I would think, well, I don't know where the Broncos are sitting at, what, 9-6, and the Colts are 6-8. I would think that, the AFC is pretty much locked up already. Chiefs have the top spot, Bills are in second, Steelers are in third, and all 3 of those teams have double-digit wins. Chiefs have 13, Bills have 11, and Steelers have 10. And then the Texans are sitting there right after that at 9-5. And so they're in. Who else is in? The Lions, the Eagles, and Vikings over on the NFC side. And, you know, you're looking at who's – there are only three teams from the NFC have been eliminated so far, the Bears, the Panthers, and the Giants.
Yeah, the NFC is really bunched up and is going to be a whole lot of fun down the way. The AFC is basically turned into – The cream rose to the top and everybody else sank to the bottom. And, you know, I think the Dolphins and the Bengals, I think, are the only two that are left that we're not 100% sure. Chargers as well.
It kind of makes me wonder how the Ravens are going to look at that last game of the season against the Browns. Let's just say, what do we have? It's Steelers-Baltimore this week, right? Steelers-Baltimore this week.
Oh, yeah. This is a big boy game.
Yeah, so whoever wins that game is going to have position for winning the AFC North.
Now, well, yeah, and they'll host a playoff game.
Yeah, but still, yeah. Do they have an outside shot of having the first week off, the first round of the playoffs off? No.
It would depend on the Chiefs, yeah.
The Chiefs at 13-1, no one's messing with them.
Yeah.
That's a three-game ad, and then Steelers are the next team that would be on there. The Bills are the only team that if you were hoping you could, because you're only a game behind the Bills. So if the Steelers win this week, they jump to 11-4, and the Bills jump to 11-4 if they lose. I'm just looking at the scenarios this week, but the Bills are playing New England this week, so I'm expecting the Bills to go to 12-3, right? I don't think that that's too crazy.
Weird things happen in the NFL, man. As we all know, any given Sunday, anything can happen. It's part of the reason that we all pay attention to this, and especially this time of year, where you're dealing with a boatload of injuries and you've got these teams that are like, okay, the only thing we've really got to play for is to ruin somebody else's day. And maybe that's enough of a motivator to get a team like the Patriots moving. I mean, Drake May can sling it. Like, they've got a quarterback. It's just everything else that you look at with the Patriots. It's like, ugh, that's not ideal. That's not what you're looking for. Christian Gonzalez looks like a winner. I mean, that's the other side of it too. He definitely looks like a winner. He looks like a guy you can build around. But the rest of that team, it's kind of... So, as funny as it sounds, we haven't had like a full-blown, like, what the hell type week in the NFL in a good period of time. So, that could easily be on the horizon. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Where all of a sudden, the top-tier teams all drop one and everybody's sitting there going, what is happening? You know, the minute you think you have it figured out, it all flips on its head. And the Browns could easily be one of those. Look, I can't see this game being low-scoring. But the weird thing is, like, I say that, and the other part of my brain kicks in and goes, boy, Jim Schwartz and Kevin Stefanski always seem to stifle Joe Burrow. Like, they always seem to make life
really hard. It is weird. Like, when I watch Joe Burrow play the Browns, it's like he's playing another team from another world.
Right.
It's like bizarro Joe Burrow.
It kind of is.
And maybe he's due to have one of those giant games against the Browns.
Could be.
You know, you look at it, last week they play against a team that had six turnovers, and guess who else had six turnovers? The Browns. So,
yeah. It just seems for some reason, from the minute Burrow has entered the league, he has been able to roll against a boatload of other teams. You know, everybody else, they go through that offense just hums. You know, they got offensive line issues, but Burrow's able to just dodge his way out of everything. I mean, it's a flat-out Houdini act back there. It's... You know, watching him get away from pass rushers, like watching Michael Jackson dance. I mean, a guy just dives and weaves. It's unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, the Browns come to town and Burrow only throws for like two touchdowns. They keep him under 300 yards. Like, it doesn't look like the Joe Burrow offense where he's just peppering T. Higgins and peppering Ja'Marr Chase over and over again and nobody has an answer. Now, who knows? If the corners don't come back for this game, it might be a different one. They might, you know, Denzel Ward, go take on Ja'Marr Chase and good luck to you. And come on, kids, let's do the best we can with what we have. You know, I mean, that's the bummer of this whole thing with Greg Newsom being done for the year and then Martin Emerson on top of it. We'll see.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. Get lined up, though, for quick predicts on the other side of it, too. 216-474-0092.